This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure for myself to welcome you all to this discussion, this informal interview with our respected Sheikh Mufti Muhammad ibn Adam al-Kawthari, wherein we'll be inshallah asking him about his life, about the different aspects of his service to this deen, his student life, and inshallah some of his thoughts on various different topics, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. An extremely beneficial, we pray that it'll be an extremely beneficial discussion for everyone, bi-ithnillah. So I'd like to begin by firstly saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khairan for taking out your time today to allow us to take this interview, inshallah. I'd like to begin by asking yourself if you can briefly introduce yourself, your name, where you were born, you speak briefly about your parents, etc.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. I would like to welcome all the viewers and say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh to all of you as well. Jazakumullah khair for this very important discussion that we're going to be having today. I want to try to make this as informal as possible, inshallah. Not very intensive. It's also the holiday period, so I think people want a bit of informal discussion in the holiday period. So, in regards to this first question, in terms of myself, where you've asked about my name and the details about myself, etc. You've already mentioned my name, so my name is only Muhammad, first of all. You know, I get this quite often, that people sometimes forget, they say everything else and they forget Muhammad. Some say Mufti ibn Adam, Mufti Adam, Sheikh Adam, Mufti Kawthari, I don't know, all sorts of different ways people have said different things in different places. And I remind them that the most important part of my name is Muhammad, which is the name of our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My father only kept my name Muhammad, only Muhammad. Muhammad ibn Adam, the son of Adam. My father's name is Adam. And, you know, all humans are ibn Adam. I remember once there was some brother, an Arab brother, a sheikh, I think. It's been a long time. So when he asked me, what's your name? I said, my name is Muhammad bin Adam. So he said, kulluna abna'u Adam. We are all the sons of Adam. So I said to him, well, ana ibnu Adamain. I'm the son of two Adams. Adam alayhi salam, as well as my father. So that's why I like to keep my name Muhammad ibn Adam. Muhammad, the son of Adam. And I think we should all try to use this as often as possible. You know, the whole lineage, ibn or bint, ibn such and such or bint such and such. It's really important. In some cultures you have this. In the Arab culture, I think it's used more often than other cultures. In the subcontinent, it's not used as often. People use surnames. They have surnames, even in the West people have surnames, but India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, in the subcontinent, people have surnames. So they have their first name and a surname. No problem, use a surname, and we need surnames, but I think the father's name and having Ibn in between, or if not Ibn in between, at least have the father's name, I think it's really important. And also another thing is having a kunya, a title, which is also the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the tabi'un, and all our classical imams and salaf al-saliheen, they used to all have these kunya, Abu such and such, Abu Abdullah. My kunya is Abu Abdullah, because my son's name is Abdullah, so I try to use Abu Abdullah. And actually for that, I actually thought about, you know, before naming my son, I was thinking about who from the great personalities in the past have the kunya Abu Abdullah. Kunya means the honorific title. So who from the past imams have the title kunya Abu Abdullah, and at the same time they have the name Muhammad? Because I wanted My son's name, Abdullah, is a good name anyway, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna min ahabbi asma'ikum ila Allah ta'ala Abdullah wa Abdurrahman." One of the most beloved, from the most beloved names to Allah is Abdullah and Abdurrahman. So that's why I like the name Abdullah, the slavehood and ubudiyya in there as well. And my daughter's name is Safa. She might get upset if, so why didn't you mention my name? Safa is my daughter's name. So anyway, I thought about whoever from the past imams have the kunya Abu Abdullah and also the name Muhammad, because my name is Muhammad. And when I looked at the list, I found some amazing, unique personalities. First of all, Imam al-Bukhari. Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari. Imam Shafi'i, he's Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan in the Hanafi Madhab, he's Abu Abdullah as well. Imam ibn Majah is Abu Abdullah and Muhammad as well. And then the one who authored the Burda, he's also Abu Abdullah and Muhammad al-Busiri. And many others. You know, there were many people. And Abu Abdullah itself, Imam Ahmad was called Abu Abdullah, but he was Ahmad. Imam Malik was Abu Abdullah, but he was Malik. So Abu Abdullah is a very unique and a very widely used kunya. So anyway, so my name is Muhammad bin Adam. Abu Abdullah is the kunya, the title, the honorific title. I was born here in the city of Leicester, UK. We are in Leicester Sharif, as they say. People from outside, they call Leicester Sharif and Bradford Sharif. But for those outside of the UK, Leicester is in the central part of UK. It's what we call Halatul I'tidal. It's the balanced land of UK. It's not really high up north, it's not south. That's why whenever it's really extremely hot, you know, throughout the UK, we don't get those exceedingly hot temperatures here in Leicester. When it snows heavily everywhere in the UK, we don't get that extreme heavy snow. It's right in the middle, Midlands, and that's why it's a very kind of khayrul umuri awsatuha, best of places, best of things are the, you know, the middle way. So Leicester is a great city, alhamdulillah. So I was born in the city of Leicester. I grew up here, I was raised here. My father, you know my father, of course, and you know some of the brothers here, the students all know, but there's people outside, you know, who probably don't know of my father. My father, Sheikh Maulana Adam, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he's 85 years of age, I think going on to 86, and he's a very old, you know, serving imam, originally scholar, teacher of hadith, spiritual guide to a lot of people in the city of Leicester. And in Leicester, like, he is probably the most well-known and most respected at the moment, especially because he's the most senior. But there are people outside of Leicester sometimes, especially the younger generation, those who don't speak Urdu, etc., they're not too familiar with him or know of him. I've seen some places online, people have mentioned my father and they've said father of, you know, my name with it. So, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him well-being. He's very old and fragile now and, you know, frail. He's got a knee issue, he can't walk properly, he's on his wheelchair, etc. But he came here in the 1970s, around 1976, I think. He is originally from the subcontinent, from India. And that's why my ethnic background is India. Some people ask me as well, what's your background? Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that I'm originally from Pakistan, because I'm always talking about Pakistan. For me, these borders don't really matter. It's like whatever. But originally, ancestors are from India. And India, Pakistan, it was all one before Bangladesh, it was all one anyway. So he is originally from India. And he studied there, and alhamdulillah, he graduated from the famous Dar Ulum Deoband seminary, which is in Deoband, and he studied by some great shuyukh. He's seen people like Shaykhul Islam Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah, and also some students of Imam Al-Rashid Kashmiri rahimahullah. His one of his teachers was Qari Muhammad Taib rahimahullah, the student of Hakim al-Umma Maulana Shafi Tahir rahimahullah. So a lot of senior people, and that's why even Hadith Ijazah right now, He's got some high asnanid which a lot of people don't have right now, and that's why there's a lot of people who want to just come and take ijaz of hadith from him. So he graduated from Deoband, and then he went to another place in India, in Dabir. There's a big madrasa there. He taught there as well, and there's lots of major, you know, like senior scholars who are his students actually. And then he, from there, he taught there for a while, and then he moved to Africa, southern Africa, in a country called Malawi. Malawi is next to South Africa. I've been to Malawi, I've been to South Africa, both places. I think he was an imam there for 7-8 years. I mean, I don't know all of this because I wasn't born. Some of my siblings were there. Yeah, he was an imam in Malawi for 7-8 years. And then after that, in the 70s, like I said, 1976, he was invited by people here in Leicester, UK, and he established a masjid here, which is, we are in Darul Ifta, but just across the road, the masjid, Jami' Masjid, and there's a lot of madrasas and, you know, different buildings here and different schools and madrasas, etc. So he's been since 1976 till, what is it, 2022 right now. So we are like 46 years. And this is why, you know, because of his services to this city and to this area, we have a Sheikh Adam Square here, officially by the government, by the council. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. The local council, they said that we need to name the square here called Sheikh Adam Square. And, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, he's worked for many, many years in one place. Like, a lot of people don't stay in one place. They move from here to here and there. So that's basically my father, in a nutshell. And mashallah, I mean, I've seen him since childhood. Very pious, very pious individual. He's always reading, reciting. I mean, I've not seen anything except, you know, him always reciting Quran every day and doing dhikr. And like, I remember when I was a child, that's what he was just, the only thing he does at home is either read or, you know, write, but it's mainly ibadah. Even his writing is not much, books, etc., but he's more into ibadah, a lot of ibadah. He's always reciting Quran, always doing worship of Allah. Since those days that I was young, I saw that as well. I grew up seeing all of that. And my mother, Hafidhah Allah, may Allah preserve her, she's also alive, maybe late 70s or something. So she's, alhamdulillah, she's also a very pious individual, and she's, you know, alhamdulillah, supporting my father all this time. She used to teach in the beginning, some girls, etc., in the madrasa, but then she retired after that. But, you know, she's, the energy at home is my mother's, you know, everything is like, she looks after the whole family, my father, all the children, and all the grandchildren, and great-grandchildren now. But she is like the absolute, the energetic woman, you know, and from childhood we've seen her, she's always, you know, mashallah, being very energetic. And even this, right now, this age as well, she's got a lot of energy and interest, and she needs to know everything, what's happening, who's teaching where, and who's going where, and, you know, everything about every aspect of the madrasa and everything. So, but alhamdulillah. So, these are my parents. And I was born, like I said, in Leicester. I won't say which year. Okay. Because that's something I don't want to give away. Every time, this is the thing, every time until now, for the last 10, 15 years, every place I go, people ask, how old are you? And I actually tweeted about this as well. I said, Imam Malik, somebody asked Imam Malik, how old are you? He said, Aqbil ala sha'nik, mind your own business. Not in a rude way, but it's like, do more important things. Aqbil ala sha'nik, and carry on doing what you have to do. This is not an important question. Then somebody asked Imam Shafi'i. So Imam Shafi'i, he said, I asked my teacher Imam Malik, how old are you? He said, Aqbil ala sha'nik. So I tell you the same thing as well, Aqbil ala sha'nik. And then I heard that there's a whole, that student Imam Shafi'i, somebody asked him, how old are you? And he said, Aqbil ala sha'nik. And then somebody else asked him, how old are you? He said, Aqbil ala sha'nik. All the way down until today, there's a sheikh in some way in Medina or Mecca or I don't know where, someone said, where you can go to him and get this whole musalsal, continuation, musalsal biqawli kulli wahid minhum Aqbil ala sha'nik. So you go and ask him, how old are you, sheikh? He said, Aqbil ala sha'nik. Because I asked my teacher, how old were you? How old are you? And he said, Aqbil ala sha'nik. And because he asked his teacher, all the way to Imam Malik. It's a continuation. But anyway, yeah, I get asked this a lot. Sometimes people say, like, you've been, you know, I mentioned sometimes some things that, oh yeah, this was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I taught this course.
So then they start scratching their head, you know. So people, let them keep on thinking how old, you know. It's just, it's because, you know, if they think that you're older than what you are, then that's also an issue. And if they think they're younger than what you are, that's also an issue. But anyway, so yeah, this is my family, mother and father. And I have siblings. Just quickly, not too much detail, but I am the youngest of five brothers and sisters. So all of them, alhamdulillah, all graduated as scholars. My eldest brother, Sheikh Mulana Ahmed Ali, he's much older than me in age and seniority and ilm and everything. And he graduated from Dar Ulum Berry in the UK. He also stayed in the company of Sheikh Zakaria Rahimahullah, and he also studied a bit in Pakistan, and he's written a few books in Urdu, and mashallah, and he does a lot of, you know, charity work, and he goes to Turkey and places like that, and he also resided in Canada, and he established a madrasa in Canada before as well. And then my second brother after that, Sheikh Mawlana Imran, he's also, mashallah, you know, he's been here for many, many years. He's an imam of the masjid here. He teaches in the madrasa. He's actually the principal of the madrasa. He runs the whole madrasa that we have here. He also graduated from Dar Ulum Berry. And then I have two sisters after that. They're both also involved in the khidmah of deen, teaching, running madrasas, etc. And then I am the fifth, the youngest out of all of them. And all of them have children as well. And a lot of them have all memorized Quran. And, you know, not just memorized Quran, but they've graduated as scholars. So a lot of my nephews, nieces, that, you know, they all graduated as scholars. Many of my nephews look older than me as well now. But alhamdulillah. So this is the small family that, or not the small family, the big family that I have.
Sheikh, just to add on in terms of your name, I guess a lot of listeners, they'll know you as Al-Kawthari.
Yeah.
Where does this come from? Where does this title come from?
Yeah, this also, people have asked this question quite a bit as well. Where does Al-Kawthari come from? It's not a family name. it's not a surname. That's why none of my family members, brothers, or anyone use Al-Kawthari. So I only use it. And the reason was, I mean, there's a couple of reasons. One reason was, you know, when I was studying back in Syria many, many years ago, we'll talk about that later, I published a book. So when I published a book, and the publishing house said, look, what's your name? How, you know, as an editor of the book, what can we put? So I said, Muhammad bin Adam. So he said, what's the last name? You need something. Muhammad bin Adam, what? I don't like to use the normal subcontinent surname that we have because it's not common anyway. So I said, Muhammad bin Adam is enough. So he said, no, we need something, a nisbah, an attribution to something. Like, shall we put Al-Hindi? The Indian. I said, I'm not really, I haven't even seen India properly yet. I wasn't born. He said, shall we put Al-Birtani, you know, for British. And that Birtani just doesn't look that nice, you know, on an Arabic book. So then I was thinking, what, there has to be some sort of nisbah, like, is there a madrasa, or is it like some sort of Islamic attribution that you can have? Because you see, in the subcontinent, and not just subcontinent, many parts of the world, like those who study in Azhar are called Al-Azhari. They put Al-Azhari after the name. In Darul Uloom Deoband Seminary, the people who have graduated there are normally known as Al-Qasmi, because Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi Rahimahullah, he was the founder of the Darul Uloom, so attribution to him, Qasmi. There's Madahirul Uloom in Sahranpur, which is a famous madrasa. Those who graduate from there are called Madahiri. So it doesn't have to be a place as well. Those from Mecca, Makki, Madani, Basri, Kufi, you know, even in the olden times, everyone used to, Imam Bukhari is from Bukhara, everyone had these attributions. So I was thinking, what attribution to use? So then this Al-Kawthari came in mind, and there was a reason, is because one of the places I studied, it's not an official, but in the Darul Uloom Berry that I studied at, it's not an official, like, you know, title or attribution used for those who graduated from there. But in the olden times, there was some kind of reasoning that, you know, it was just thought of that those from here can be called as Al-Kawthari. There's some story behind it. But nobody ever used it. So I thought, you know, maybe, you know, that's one place that maybe I graduated from, I could use it. And I just used it. And then there was also another reason. was, I used to, at that time, I was reading a lot of books of Imam Muhammad Zahid al-Kawthari, rahimahullah, great Egyptian scholar. Even though, you know, some of his ways of writing certain things you can disagree with, which I can maybe talk about later. That doesn't mean I agree with everything that he says and the way he says it as well. Especially he could have said things in a better way. That's why Sheikh Abdul Fattah Ghudda, rahimahullah, student, who is, mashallah, very balanced, an amazing scholar, and we'll talk about him later, one of my favorite scholars. In a very balanced way, he's explaining everything. So anyway, I used to read a lot of his books. So I had that in mind as well. And this is why I just started. I just used it in the beginning, not as I thought I would officially use it. But then it became so common and so famous that it just became used so much. And now it's everybody, Muhammad ibn Adam al-Kawthari. So yeah, that's the reason why. So this is my name, like I said, siblings, brothers, sisters, all graduated scholars, my father as well, mashallah, old scholar, imam for a long time. And also, like I said, in my family, brothers and sisters, their children, nephew, nieces, many of them all have memorized the Quran or graduated as scholars as well, inshallah ta'ala.
So in terms of your childhood, could you describe where your studies began as a youngster, as a child? I guess your father, Sheikh Adam, must have had a huge impact and influence in that. Could you kind of like describe briefly about what impact he had and where your initial early days of studies began?
I was born in this city, so childhood was spent in this city. Not just in this city, this area, where we're sitting in Dalifta right now, outside. This Sheikh Adam Square is where we used to play. I grew up here as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, a mischievous young boy, you know, messing around and playing around. And there might be some people who used to play around with me in this area. They might be watching in this, I don't know. Have you seen the sign that says no ball games? Mm. That was because of us. There used to be a police station there, then they moved. So they used to come and tell us that you're not supposed to play football here. Mm. We used to play football in this, used to be a park, small car park. We used to play one touch football. You know, there's benches there, so the benches was the goal. I grew up in this area. Every day, just come here, come on. And we used to play here. So the police used to come and say, look, you can't play here, these cars are going to be parked here, you might hit someone's car. They used to confiscate our ball. I used to tell all the young kids, I said, don't worry, I'll go and get it. So I used to be the chief head of the gang. I used to go to the police, oh, you're not going to play again, you know, this costs a lot, it's my ball, please give us the ball. Okay, next time don't play here, yeah, don't worry, we're not going to play. These are when I'm 7, 8 years of age. So then after that, they had to put that big sign, no ball games. So this is the area that I grew up in, the city of Leicester. This area, you know, there's like buildings here. I used to climb on top of these buildings. And, you know, you have this water thing here. What do you call them? Like, brooks or something? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's a river. We used to go down and we used to go underneath the tunnels from here all the way. Like Saturdays and Sundays. You know, those were the days when we never used to have these gadgets and, you know, PCs and laptops and tablets and computers. So people played naturally. Mm-hmm. You played naturally, you exercised outside. Children used to play all day outside here in this car park or this park here. From morning till evening, there used to be children playing. Full. All the children used to play there. Now you hardly see children, everyone's inside, indoors. So my childhood was in this area. Now, as you mentioned, my father, of course, I think one of the great things that I, great ni'mah of Allah, blessing of Allah, and I feel it's a unique ni'mah of Allah, which I can't thank Allah enough, was from a young age, I saw and witnessed great shuyukh, scholars, ulama in my house. They don't come that often now because my father's got old, but at that time, frequenting my house. And I think that plays a massive role in how a child's upbringing takes place. Two things. One is I saw a lot of books, So like we have a lot of books here. So I grew up seeing like books. I can still until now remember what color what book was. And those books are still available by my father. His Ma'ariful Quran, which is a tafsir of Mufti Shafi Rahimahullah, black cover with golden written Ma'ariful Quran. I haven't seen it for years, but I saw it as a 5, 6, 7 years old. There was a commentary of Hidayah called Ainul Hidayah in Urdu. My father used to use and he used to write lines on it in black cover, thick 4 volumes. Lots of his old books, because you see them regularly. So when you see this, you know, it has an impact on you. So a lot of books. And the other thing was, like I said, lots of shuyukh and ulama from different parts of the world. I've sat in the laps of lots of great scholars. I mean, I can think of some, if I can mention some of the names that I can remember from the top of my head right now. great, great scholars who've come to our house. There was somebody called Sheikh Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangohi, rahimahullah. He was a Grand Mufti of Dar Ulum Deoband. This is not to be confused with Mawlana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, rahimahullah, the teacher of Hakim Ulum and Mawlana Shafi Thanvi, rahimahullah. Not him. This is Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangohi. We have his fatawa, Mahmudiyya, it's behind me here. You know, these are 20 volumes. This is just volume number 12, Fatawa Mahmudiyya. There's 20 of these. These are all his fatawas. Faqihul Ummah, Mawlana Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Nawarullah Marqadah. He passed away in 1996. He passed away in 1996 or 1997, I think. But he came to the UK many times, and I will talk about it later, but he came to the Darul Umberi, and we actually finished our, you know, Bukhari Khatam with him and took ijazah from him in all 6 books, and we read the final hadith by him. But he came here in 87. He came to Leicester. He stayed at my father's house, stayed there for 3 days. Also, Sheikh Mawlana As'ad Madani, the son of Mawlana Hussain Ahmed Madani, rahimahullah. He used to come every year to the UK, come and see my father. He used to come here regularly. And then also some unique great scholars. I remember once the Imam of Haram of Makkah, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Subayyil. He's passed away now, rahimahullah. He was Imam of Haramain, Makkah and Medina. Very balanced. Hanbali, but very balanced. Very balanced. Good connections with subcontinent scholars. Good connections. He was very close to Sheikh Zakaria, rahimahullah, as well. He came to the Darul Umberi as well. And he actually, we'll talk about this later maybe, he came to Darul Umberi, I think, more than one occasion, and also some other masajid in Leicester and other parts. He came to the UK a few times. He used to lead the Isha prayer. He was the sheikh of most of the Imams of Haram today, their teacher. For many years, good 40, 50 years, he was Imam of Haram, of both Harams, but he used to lead Salah in Mecca, Isha Salah. Muhammad bin Abdullah Subayy. Then afterwards, his son became an Imam. Or whilst he was alive, his son became the Imam, but his son passed away before him in a car crash. So he came. My father's house is just here, next street. I remember he came. He was there for a few hours. I sat in his lap. And then I read, because my father told me that when he comes, read a nasheed in Arabic. So the only Arabic nasheed that I knew at that time, which I used to always read, was the Burda. Now the Burda can be problematic slightly for somebody from Saudi Arabia because of certain words, etc. But I just read it, and he was just hearing, mashallah, and you know, it's just, I don't know what part of the Burda. I think the main Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thakalain wal Fariqaini min Arabi wa min Ajami. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. So I read that one whilst he was there. Also from the scholars that I remember coming to my house, there was a great Mufti of Pakistan called Mufti Wali Hassan Donki, rahimahullah. He's actually a teacher of Mufti Taqi Uthmani and Mufti Rafi Uthmani. A great scholar of Pakistan. I remember him coming to my house. Even Sheikh al-Islam Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah, my own teacher, he visited my father in 1987 for the first time. Just passed by Leicester. I saw him. I still remember the image when he came. His brother Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani Rahimahullah, who just passed away many times he came and came to my house and used to sit with my father. But I'm not talking about even people older than them, senior ones. There was somebody called Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi rahimahullah. He was martyred in Pakistan. He was a great scholar of hadith and fiqh, teaching at the Jamiat al-Islamiyah in Binori town, famous. Whenever he used to come to the UK, he used to say to all his hosts, when I land in UK, from the airport, first I need to go to Leicester, to Baba Adam's house. He used to call my father Baba Adam. I'm going to stay there one night, eat there, eat bun with him, relax, and then rest there, and then the next day take me wherever you want to take. And he was an amazing scholar, a student of Sheikh Zakaria rahimahullah, and also a student of Dr. Abdul Hayy Arif rahimahullah, Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi rahimahullah. He has many books as well. I used to sit in his lap, mashallah, an illuminated face, a very pious and a very righteous and very knowledgeable intellectual scholar, an alim. He has a book called, one of his famous books is translated into English, amazing book, Ikhtilafi Ummat or Sirati Mustaqim, the differences of the Ummah and the middle path, and he's talked about all the different groups. That's one of his amazing books, but he's written some other books as well. Sheikh Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi rahimahullah. So I used to see him every year. And then, you know, a lot of these scholars used to come for these Khatm-e-Nubuwwah conferences from Pakistan, from India. So they used to all come on one weekend to my father's house. They used to come here, they used to have one dinner here. So I got to know a lot of them. There was Sheikh Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, rahimahullah. He just passed away in 2017 in South Africa, a student of Sheikh Zakaria, rahimahullah. Whenever he used to come, he used to pick me up and put me on his shoulder. He used to be friends with another sheikh. This other sheikh Maulana, he's from Pakistan, but he was an orator. His name was Maulana Muhammad Diyaul Qasmi. Yeah. Orator, like a famous orator. He's not a very prolific writer or a teacher, but an orator, one of those, you know, Pakistani orators. He was very much known for his public speaking. A lot of them were in tune, and you know, Allah says this, and it's like, you know, it's a thing in Pakistan where you become a master of being an orator and a speaker. So I became very close to him. I was like 9, 10, 11 years of age. I used to listen to all his cassettes, and I used to, you know, because he was very nice, entertaining in Urdu. He was like my first role model. And he used to, like, when he used to come, he used to sit to eat. He used to eat afterwards. He used to make sure I ate with him. And he bought me gifts from Pakistan and things like that. And then they used to have this Khatm-e-Nubuwwah conferences in the UK. They still have them in Birmingham Central Mosque. These were when the Qadiani movement, they were in Pakistan, originally India, Pakistan, and then they were declared non-Muslims in Pakistan. So they fled from there, their head fled and came to the UK. And till today, they have this Ahmadiyya channel and things like that. Because Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was the founder, then his son became the head of the movement, then his grandson. Now I think it's somebody called Mirza Tahir, and now it's his grandson, if I'm correct. I don't know his name. Grandson or great grandson. So the scholars from the subcontinent used to come here, and they used to invite people from scholars from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and even from the Arab world. Even the Imam of Masjid Nabawi, Sheikh Hudhayfi, Hafidhahullah, he attended one conference in Birmingham Central Mosque. He led Salah, he read two ruku from the Quran, and then gave a talk in Arabic, which was translated into Urdu. So a lot of these scholars used to come. So they used to come here. So this Mawlana Muhammad Ziaul Qasmi rahimahullah was a fiery speaker, orator, very, very popular, very popular. So he told me that you need to read the Nasheed, the Na'at. These conferences, they started first in London, in the Wembley Conference Center. You know, we have Wembley Stadium. Mm. Next to Wembley Stadium, in Wembley, there was a Wembley Conference Center. I don't know if it's still there. I think houses about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 people. And in those days, you never used to have too many programs. There's no online. So any major program, people are going in coaches and traveling from across the country, from north, south, from east, from the west, they're all going all the way to London. So he told me that I need to read Nasheed Naat. I still remember, there's a recording somewhere. There was an Urdu Naat called Khatme Nubuwat Zindabad. You know, it's like, I was 9 years of age. And I attended the conference. Now, the conference is like, they've got a stage, yeah, at the front. There's about 30, 40 major scholars of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, like some major, the Imam of Haram, and you know, even the local UK scholars, Sheikh Mawlana Yusuf Muttara, rahimahullah, and many, many scholars, major ones, majority of them all passed away. And I remember, like, my elder brother was told that, find me, and then I came from the back and from the stage, and I was short, I was a young child, I'm still short a bit, but imagine 9 years of age, like, I was, now, they, what they did was, I couldn't reach the mic, so they bought a chair, and I stood on top of the chair, and Mawlana Zia al-Qasmi, rahimahullah, introduced me, and he said, look, this is a young child, 9 years of age, and his name is Muhammad, but I call him, and he used to call me Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani. He used to give me that name. He actually said it in the program, the recording somewhere there, that I've called him out of love, Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani. Like Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani, I think what he was thinking was that you've got a lot of meaning in you, but you're Mukhtasar, you're small, tiny, but it's a book. Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani is a book in Arabic, Fasaha and Balagha. You have Talkhis al-Miftah, you have Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani. And recently, Mufti Taqutmani called me Mullah Mukhtasar. So I'm all just Mukhtasars, everyone's calling me Mukhtasar, mashallah. So anyway, he used to call him Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani. So he said that he's Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani. I call him, his name is Muhammad, and inshallah he's going to read. So they put me on the chair and I read, like 9 years of age. Khatma al-Nubuwat, Zindabad. I remember, as soon as I finished, everyone, like the whole 8,000 to 9,000 people, takbir, people are clapping, like people are crazy. He had to stop and said, enough, everybody. Then he said, look, this is the living miracle of Khatma al-Nubuwat, that even small children today, something like that, he said in Urdu. But I remember after that, when I was leaving, because people are leaving in coaches, etc., as all everyone's pointing, that's that child, that's that kid, that's the one who read the Nasheed, that's the kid. I still remember. So I was in the limelight from then, from 9 years of age. So anyway, these were great scholars. And I remember when he used to come to my house, him and Sheikh Abdul Hafiz Makki, they used to both take in turns to put me on the head, on the shoulder, and said, no, look, this is the better way to pick him up. This is the better way to pick him up. And they still all kiss me on the forehead. And so I saw all of this at a young age, all these great scholars. And I used to imitate Mawlana Zia al-Qasmi, rahimullah's Urdu lectures. I never understood what they meant, because I never used to understand Urdu. I had no clue what they were saying, but it was just tune, and so I used to just imitate them. And I remember in childhood, I used to imitate a lot of the Imams of Haram as well. All these great Imams of Mecca and Medina, I used to love. So when I used to go for Umrah, I used to want to go meet all of them. Like, I used to know who leads Fajr Salah, and who leads Dhuhr, and who leads Asr, and who's going to be where, and I used to go meet them, and then I used to imitate all of them. So I remember Sheikh Salih bin Humaid, I think still the Imam, he used to lead Fajr Salah, and then you had people like Sheikh Sudais and Shuraim, they've been there for a long time. They never age as well. Amazing. Sheikh Shuraim has been there for so long, since I was in my teenagers, I can remember Sheikh Sudais and Shuraim, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdullah Subayn, there was Sheikh Ali Jabir, he's passed away, rahimahullah. Sheikh Hudayf has been there for a long time. And then there was Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Qasim, and all these great Imams of Haram. So what I used to do when I was a child, I used to imitate all of them. Sheikh Abu Bakr Shatri as well, I used to try to lead like him in my teenage years, 17, 18 years. Actually, when I met him recently, I said, how old are you? When I was a teenager, I used to copy you. You used to look like me now. Sheikh Abu Bakr Shatri, he's in the UK, I think. I met him last year. I said, when I was 17, 18, I used to listen to you. So the one thing I used to do was, I used to do something in childhood as a joke. Now, I don't know if that was just, I used to read Surah Al-Fatiha in the tune, every verse with a different imam. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, like Sudais, and then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, like Shulayim, Malik Yawmiddin, like someone else. Which is, I think, it's a bit of joke and fun. If you're a child, if you do it, it's fine. When you grow up, you don't do that, something like that. So, this was, I used to like imams and the recitations. Sheikh Abdul Basit, Abdul Samad, grew up listening to him. I used to copy him as well, the qira'ah. I used to do it exactly like, I mean, not exactly like him, but I used to, you know, he's, of course, a different level, but I used to try to copy him, imitate him. There was somebody else called Sheikh Andar, Qari Andar. I used to copy him as well. I used to have cassettes in those days, tapes, tape recorders and cassettes. So these were the great kind of scholars who came to my house. If I mention most of them, there was somebody called Sheikh Azizur Rahman Hazarwi, rahimahullah, from Pakistan. I remember he bought me a hat as well as a gift. So I've also seen Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakaria, rahimahullah. You know, he never came to my house here, but he came to Darulun Berry, and my brother took me, and I was, I don't know how old I was. I was about 4 or 5 years of age, and I met him, and I shook hands with him as well. Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakaria, rahimahullah ta'ala. Lots of these great scholars who used to frequent in my house. And so that was one of the greatest ni'mah, I think, in my childhood. You asked about, you know, how my father's influence in the study. So basically, I studied initially at home. I memorized the Quran. Alhamdulillah, I started memorizing the Quran at the age of 6. I completed it at the age of 9. Despite me not wanting to, but I remember, like, my father was very strict, like, you know, every day with school. So imagine going to school in the morning and then coming in the afternoon and coming back at 3, 4 o'clock, 3:30, and then straight learning, you know. I used to have this quick, like, some drink, milk or some, you know, biscuits, and then learning, and then I used to go to the madrasa. So I used to study at home. My father used to listen to me. But then also I used to go and attend a hifth class in the madrasa as well. So officially I can read again there as well. So at home as well as in the madrasa. And I memorized the Quran at home. My mother used to really push me as well. She used to make sure, time to read, time to, you know. She used to listen to me. My mother used to listen to my Quran, I remember. Have you memorized your one page? And used to listen to me. I did and learned a bit of Urdu, etc. So a lot of the initial studies was at home by my father, in the madrasa, my mother as well. So this is basically the basic initial studies and childhood. Also, I remember that we used to have in our local madrasa when I was growing up here, we used to have these yearly annual programs. We used to call them jalsas, maktab jalsas, where the objective was twofold. Number one was that all those students, children, who passed the exams, who came first or second or third in the exams, they were all given gifts and they were rewarded. So they used to announce in every class, class number one, class two, class three, this class, that class, who came first, second, third, and they used to give presents. In those days, the presents were like cutlery, and I don't know why they used to give like a microwave and, you know, some plates and things like that. Children used to take that home. Then they changed it because someone said that all of this, the children go and give it back. They go and give it to their moms in the kitchen. Then they changed it to calculators. I remember I got a calculator once and I was so happy I got a calculator as a gift. So that used to be one objective of the jalsas, and that's one thing that used to happen. And the other was that all the children used to participate in conducting programs. So they used to read qira'ah, nasheed, talks in Urdu and English. Performances, basically. So I remember from childhood days, every year I used to do a lot of performances. You call them perform because children are performing. Mm. Adults don't perform. And this is, you know, when you say this person is performing, that's not for adults. Adults, they give a talk, or even if they're reading the sheet, they're calling people towards Allah. It's not a performance. Because niyyah, for children, you don't have an intention niyyah. It's just showing off, and it's just, even if it's not showing off, for children, it's just encouragement, because you're 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, you're a child. So there's a message in what I'm trying to say here, that adults, they don't perform. So anyway, I used to perform, alhamdulillah, every year. I remember at the age of 6 was my first performance. In this masjid here that we have here, there used to be a pulpit, mimbar. At the age of 5 or 6, I read my first qira of the Quran. I still remember I read first ruku' of Surah Ar-Rahman, screaming. I was 5 or 6, I think maybe 6. I went right to the top, the third seat, and I went, Bismillah ar-Rahmanu 'allama. I still remember. I think there's a recording somewhere. We've got some old tapes. And then I gave talks in Urdu, I gave talks in English, I did, of course, nasheeds on a regular basis. Nasheed was, you know, I grew up doing a lot of nasheeds. Even in those Khatm-e Nubuwwah conferences, I mentioned that the one in Wembley Conference Center that was in 1986, the Wembley Conference Center. The first time when I stood on the chair and, you know, Mawlana Zia al-Qasmi, rahimahullah, he passed away in 2000, Mawlana Zia al-Qasmi, rahimahullah, when he introduced me. But then after that, every year, I used to recite a na'at or a nasheed in those conferences. So 87, 88, 89, they used to have them in the Khatm-e Nubuwwah, the Wembley Conference Center. And then from 1990 onwards, they moved it because I think the expenditure was a lot because you had to pay to hire the halls. So they moved it to Birmingham Central Mosque. From 90 onwards, 91, 92, 93, I think they still have it. Every year they have it in Birmingham Central Mosque. So I recited Na'at even in 91, 92, 93, 94, 95. Every year they used to tell me, till about 96, when I graduated from Darul Bari, and we'll talk about that later. And I remember one of the weekends, I think 87 or 88, there was a weekend of major programs. So on the Friday, Darul Umberi had a new masjid built, a new building, new facilities. So they were inaugurating the new masjid in 1987. That was a Friday. Saturday, there is a madrasa here in the Midlands, Madinatul Ulum in Kidderminster, which is a affiliation of Darul Umberi. So they had just purchased a building and they were inaugurating that building on the Saturday. And on the Sunday was the Khatm-e Nubuwwah conference in London. So I remember Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all three places I read a Na'at. So in Friday, I never used to study in Darul Umberi, but still I read a Na'at. All the great scholars from subcontinent, they had come for the Khatm-e Nubuwwah on the Sunday. They all went to Darul Umberi on the Friday. Sheikh Mawlana As'ad Madani, rahimahullah, the son of Mawlana Hussain al-Madani, rahimahullah, he led the Jumu'ah. Actually, the Jumu'ah was supposed to be led by Imam of Haram, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdullah Subayl, but last minute, he had to cancel his program, his trip, and he couldn't come. So because he didn't come, because he was scheduled to lead the Jumu'ah, so then Mawlana As'ad Madani led it. And then all these great scholars gave talks. And Saturday, they all went to near Birmingham, Kidderminster in West Midlands, and then they all went to Sunday. So yeah, I've had this childhood growing up of reading nasheeds and naats and performing and showing off since then.